Silence.
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Play Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 212 of Nerd Pride Radio. 212.
Boiling point.
Go ahead.
I said the boiling point.
The boiling point of water in degrees Fahrenheit. So look at that. No research needed this week. Awesome. So ask me how I'm doing today.
How you doing today?
I am awesome. Thank you, Eli. My name is Mike Jones. I am a D&D slash Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd. Plus, there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You are listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to have run about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my skull anymore.
We're not at Nerd Pride Radio. We're at the school.
Okay, but technically, once I start speaking into a microphone, everywhere is Nerd Pride Radio.
It's debatable.
Nerd pride in your ears, baby. All right. As always,
that might be an infection.
As always, you're listening to the best smelling podcast on the internet. That's right. Nerd Pride smells exactly like a combination of ipratropium, bromide, and albuterol sulfate. It's called DuoNeb, and it's the nebulizer treatment that I've been taking four times a day for this stupid pneumonia or whatever it is.
I always think it's vaping.
And yeah, he always thinks I'm vaping or doing drugs or something, but no, it's just for my lungs. All right. Anyway, before we get into the meat of this, first off, updates. I am updating the print and play document for Godball after our playtest and some discussion on the boards. We've got some things that we're going to try out and things that we're going to fix. And so hopefully we can clean up some of these loose ends and make our print and play document even better. And so if you're interested, again, stop on over. We've got the print and play available. If you can't find it, let me know and I'll see if I can get you access to it. So there you go. Also, Deadpool is coming up. Not the movie, the contest. Nerd Pride Deadpool 2017 is just about to come to an end because, you know, it's almost the end of the year. So if you're interested in joining us for Nerd Pride Deadpool 2018, make yourself a list. Give us 30 or 40 celebrities in order of who you think is most likely to die in the next year, and we'll put you in the pool, we'll put you in the draft, and then you got nothing to do but just watch the points rake in for the next year. It's actually a lot of fun. So come join us for Deadpool. Those of you who are already in Deadpool, start breaking out your lists again. I know it's Christmas season and you got other stuff to do, but, well, you got to get some research in there. I mean, you're not going to let Kyle and Nadia run away with it next year again, are you? Seriously. All right. Next up. Still in updates. We also have a worst movie ever tournament going on the forums. So if you feel like coming in and ranking the movies that you've seen, from worst to best, I'm putting up, groups of six movies every couple of days. So, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Am I boring you?
No, worst movies to best. The worst is Marvel. The best is Marvel.
Yeah. So, come on in. We've got a list of movies already nominated. I'm putting out groups of about six of them every couple of days. And then you just go in and the ones you've seen, you just rank them in order by how much you hate them. So I've got that going on. And then, oh, yeah, as always, DM Darks is so awesome. Okay, now it's time for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast. This is the time for me and Eli.
Yes.
To talk about whatever's been on our minds for the last week. If something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week, I add it to my master list, and the very best stuff off of that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So right into it. First up, It's a nerd culture report.
I thought this was bowling for weirdos.
No, Gonzo, but you're very, very close. Okay, on the nerd culture report this week, Eli, what's your big news?
Well, I'm in one act, and we're going to state, so...
Yeah, he's actually way more excited than his voice sounds right there.
Yeah, I'm just... We're at school, it's been like 4 hours, and I've had nothing to do.
All right, so... For those who aren't familiar, what is one act?
It's acting on a stage. It's pretty much just a stage play.
Yes.
And it's competition, and I don't know if any of you have been in something like this. Unless one of my friends is listening, I don't think it is. It's probably Zach who's listening. But
okay, here's the thing. Yeah, actually, and I put that in the listener betrayal, so later... I've already asked them for you because Eli said he was wondering if anyone who listens has ever been in play production or drama in general or whatever you've done. So, oh, that's true. That's true. Zen. He's one of the guys on the board. He plays in our Pathfinder game every other week. And yeah, Zen. I met him at Gen Con. Very cool dude. So,
one of your best friends.
Yeah, one of my on the board. Yeah, we've got a pretty tight group. Our Pathfinder group is really cool. So, well, actually, right now, Walrus is still my best friend in the world. Okay, but Zen's up there. I mean, I'm giving him credit, but Walrus, he's our latest member of the board, so he gets to be my best friend in the world. So anyway, yeah, one act is, it's one act play production, and they get a short one act play. And they put it on, they rehearse and go through this thing forever and build the sets, and they do the whole business of making a play happen. And then they take it to competition, and their play this year just won first place at district, so that means that they're going to state, which is Friday, and it's going to be pretty awesome. So what play are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing the Beggar's Opera.
Beggar's Opera. And what role are you playing?
Lights. I'm playing the big... Turning lights. I'm actually third lights, we say, because we have Sean on stage who controls the stage lights. Then we have Chris who actually moves the thing. But I'm there because Chris, his shoulders are weird, so he can't reach over and pull one of the levers to get it over.
Alright, so yeah, Eli and his friends this year are just on crew, because they're just getting started in it. But then next year, they hope to be on stage and performing, so it should be pretty cool.
Next year. Chris, he's actually new, so we had to convince him into it.
Uh-huh.
And now he's being convinced on stage to get on stage because...
Oh, heck yeah.
What I told him, if you can remember most parts in the book, you can remember a script.
That's right. Well, and you're also pretty persuasive.
Yeah.
So, so we'll let you know how they wind up doing it state, but it's going to be next week. And it happens to be in our hometown, so we don't even have to drive anywhere for it. It's actually really cool. So I'm excited to go watch a whole afternoon of kids putting on plays. Should be fun. Let's see. That's it for the Nerd Culture Report.
No, I thought you had two.
Nope, not on this one.
Oh.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
I've reshuffled things around, but we're going to get to all of it.
The guy who needs a script and has been doing this over and over and over.
Okay. Hey, I do need a script. I'm old and my memory's not what it used to be. So don't make fun of me. But next up is...
Science Corner.
Oh, she blinded me with science.
She blinded me with science.
Blinded me with science.
And that music means if you don't walk away now, you might be in danger of learning something. Thank you for jumping in, Eli. You've been a big, big help so far.
Says the guy who doesn't need a script.
That's right. I don't need a script.
No, that's me.
Oh. All right, whatever. Make fun of me for using cue cards. All right. On the Science Corner this week, I found the next pet I want to have. All right, are you ready for this? This thing is so cool. And I can't actually have one because there's only 154 of them left in the world. And so they would be probably a little hinky if I went and took one. But the Kakapo parrot, this thing is awesome. Oh, my God. They live in New Zealand. And it is a flightless parrot. So it's like this fat, waddling little parrot thing. And somehow they have evolved to become nocturnal parrots, which is really unusual. And so as nocturnal parrots, their eyes over the course of evolution have turned to face forward. So they are parrots with forward-facing eyes, and because they are nocturnal, they have developed the facial discs like owls have, so it helps focus sound back to their ears. And so, for all the world, it looks like, I mean, it's got this fat little parrot body and it's all green, but it looks like a green ground owl. And it's really, really funny looking. And I really like them because they are, again, flightless, but they still have fully, they have these, you know, huge wings that they use for balance while climbing and jumping because they live up in the canopy, on the islands of New Zealand where they're still around. And, they are super smart, like parrots. You know, parrots are in general pretty smart.
Did you just say these guys were parrots?
They are parrots.
They're like parrots, you're saying.
Well, like all parrots are smart. These parrots are smart. And super smart birds who live to be, they are guessing.
Bang, bang.
Wow. Somebody wants to get our attention. These parrots, the Kakapo, live to be probably 100 years old, they think. The ones that they've been tracking, they know for sure they live to be at least 60. And they're guessing that if they weren't living out in the wild, they could probably live to be 100 years old. So, that is so cool. These things are awesome. And now the reason there's only 154 of them left, cats. So, you know, once human beings brought cats and rats to the islands in the South Pacific.
First it was the plague, but now it's the cats.
Yeah, then we wiped out everything. So, these birds happen to still survive, very happily on three islands where no cats have ever been introduced. And that's the only reason that they still have any of them at all. So, but they are super cool. Go take a look at them. Go do a YouTube search for the Kakapo. It's K-A-K-A-P-O. Kakapo. And, go do a Google search for them because they're really cool looking. Fascinating little birds. So just thought I'd share. Next up. Roku. Yeah, Roku's the streaming box I used to watch all of my TV on, and I don't use Roku anymore, but I still like to say that when I talk about TV stuff.
How about we just change it to Netflix?
Well, because this particular show that I'm going to talk about right now was on Hulu, so, you know.
What's your next show going to be on? Amazon!
Prime. No, it's on Hulu, and it's a Hulu original, and it's called Future Man. And I'm telling you, watch the trailers for this thing, and you're going to go, wow, that looks maybe funny, but also really stupid. And then you watch it for real, and yeah, it's funny, but also stupid. And the whole point of Future Man is Josh Hutcherson from Hunger Games and other stuff. He was PETA. He plays Future Man. That's his online name. And he is a loser who still lives with his parents. And he's been playing the video game Biotic Wars since it came out. And he loves this game. And he winds up becoming the only person in the world to ever beat the game. And as soon as he does, time travelers appear from the future to tell him that this game was a test. And it turns out that he's the hero they need with all the skills to save them. And he becomes their savior. And yeah. I know.
That's the show I've been angry with lately because it keeps showing up on my YouTube. And guess why? Because you keep watching it.
I know. And here's the thing. As soon as they tell him this, he looks at them and he goes, "So, Last Starfighter?" And they go, "What are you talking about?" He says, "That's exactly the plot of The Last Starfighter." And they, of course, don't know. And so then it turns out that he is just, you know, a loser who knows how to play video games, and he doesn't actually in real life have any skills for killing biotics and saving people. And so hilarity ensues. And I'm telling you, first episode, I watched because the trailer sucked me in, and first episode, I was intrigued because the story is interesting, but it wasn't terribly funny in my opinion. Now, my brother Kyle watched it. He thought it was funny. I didn't really care for the first episode, but I decided to persevere. And after that, this thing is hysterical. I watched all 13 episodes now, and Future Man really, really plays this out well. The whole plot is actually well constructed with the time travel and the, you know, there's a whole point where they've time traveled back in time and then forward and then back again, and he goes back to his house. He's like, "Oh my God, I've back to the future myself." And so it's very self-aware, and it just, it's very funny. The character development is really cool. What's up?
My only problem with hearing how you're describing the show is that I sound like it's been made before, and I'm pretty sure it has. But what I'm hearing from you is that if someone like my dad likes it, maybe it's because he's old and doesn't get that it's been made over and over. Or maybe.
No, that's the whole point, is that it's referencing a whole bunch of stuff that has been made before, yes, and but, it's playing off of those.
This
but,
is the show that's mastered that formula of.
Well, what I like about it is that, yes, it makes fun of, The Last Starfighter. It makes fun of Back to the Future. It makes fun of James Cameron really masterfully. Oh my God. And Avatar and Titanic. And I mean, but it makes fun of all of these things. And while making fun of them, also is a very good example of the exact same thing it's making fun of. But it is mocking these sci-fi time travel movies, while at the same time being a really good one.
So it's...
It is one of my favorite styles of movie or show in that, yes, it can mock a thing while still loving that thing. Not mocking it because it's terrible, but mocking it because we love this thing and we understand how silly it is, and yet it's still really awesome.
Or there's all these... it's kind of like how in Monster Hunter is a game I was actually playing before the podcast, how... there's all these cool monster names for all the monsters, and then you get Nipple Snarf, and you don't know how to react.
Okay, that's a good one. Non sequitur, but
looks
good.
Like, the name Nipple Snarf, trust me, it's a giant sand whale with the giant, imagine a salamander mouth.
Does anyone else play Monster Hunter? Because my kids love this game. And Jacob... as the oldest, he didn't get into Monster Hunter.
He
wound up moving away.
He was some hipster.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He made fun of it, talked about how it was just one of the lowest common denominator sorts of games. It was just, and then whatever version came out that they convinced Jacob to, just give it a try. And suddenly he was hooked too. So now all four of them play Monster Hunter, although Jacob doesn't play as much as the other three, but still.
But Jacob still says that it's one of the greatest
games. Yeah. Still had a great time playing it. So
if Jacob is listening, I don't know if that's actually what you said or if you still think that.
He did say he really enjoyed it. So, and I don't think he's listening, but we'll see. All right. None of my family listen to this podcast. Except Aiden. Aiden's the only one that likes
me. Excuse me.
Oh.
So, no, I couldn't get it out.
Oh, I could have paused. Just say pause.
I had no other choice.
Okay. So, anyway, that's Future Man. And other than that, on Roku, we've been watching Grey's Anatomy, obviously, as you heard last week. And we've been watching some of Walking Dead, and that's most of it. And I haven't been watching as much TV as usual lately. So there you go. But, you know, I'll always keep you posted. All right. And then last up, again, this is going to be a really short, meticulously plotted portion. But the last thing I have is... Pod People. Pod People, this is my section all about podcasts. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and therefore sometimes I'm going to share them here. A lot of podcasts. My kids are so tired of it.
Whenever you're in the kitchen, all I can hear is your thing at full blast, just...
Well, because I like my podcasts. And... while you're cooking is a great time to listen.
Yeah, and also, whenever you're cooking, he'll get so angry at us whenever we ask him a question that he has to answer.
Yes, because you... Look, the process is, if you want to come into the kitchen, you can say, hey, Dad, can you pause that? And then I'll stop the podcast.
I said that, but you always are so, mad about it.
I get very annoyed because you guys come in and you don't ask me. You just stand there and start babbling at me. And I'm like, whoa, 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 hold on. I can't do two things at once. And then I turn the thing off. And then I lovingly listen to whatever my children are babbling on about. And then we go from there. All right. The podcast recently, I just wanted to thank you guys. I guess I could have done this as an update, but I didn't. I want to thank you guys for the recommendations. At Sarah Beth's recommendation, I put Lore back into my rotation, and I've heard the last two or three episodes, and oh yeah, that's right, I really like Lore. Lore is a great podcast about myths and legends, and it tends to be very dramatic and serious and often scary. Sometimes it's more lighthearted, but he's got a very serious tone to it, and I really enjoy listening to Lore. So I put that back in. My brother recommended What Really Happened, which is a podcast. It's like well, maybe you guys aren't as old as I am, but if you remember Paul Harvey when he used to do his little 15-minute bit every day on the radio about, and now, the rest of the story. And what really happened is a lot like the rest of the story, except that it's really well researched and it's probably actually truth. Whereas Paul Harvey's rest of the story was always very slanted and hyperbolized, and it was trying to make some kind of moral point or some. It was always a little dicey on the truth of it. You know what? If you're interested in the Paul Harvey version of stuff, where it seems a little biased, Mike Rowe does that now. Mike Rowe has a program that Yancey listens to, and I've listened to like one episode with him, maybe two, where he does, and I don't know the name of it, but he winds up doing a rest of the story style podcast. But, instead of Mike Rowe, I much prefer What Really Happened. Oh man, this guy is really good, and he does his research, and he gives you this behind the scenes stuff, and I love behind the scenes stuff. And I find it very fascinating. So, I've only listened to two or three episodes, but really enjoying it. And then the last one, and I can't remember who recommended it to me, on the boards, whether it was it Walrus? Was it, I don't remember. I have no idea. But, Ludology. It's a board gaming podcast, and I've put it back on my list, but I haven't actually listened to it yet, but I'm going to get back to it, so I promise. But there you go. That's my pod people. What's up with you?
Every time you say Walrus, I don't know why, and I'm pretty sure he's watched Futurama, I think of that one episode where Scruffy was a walrus, and I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah, because once you go Walrus, nobody ever goes Walrus. That's maybe one of my favorite lines from Futurama. Nobody ever goes Walrus. Just remember that.
Have you had a theme yet where you get, like, on your thing for the avatar where you have Futurama characters, but when they're not in actual human form?
No. I don't know if we'd have enough. Well, we would, because they've done several of those episodes. But, you know what? Futurama is not a bad idea for the next set. I just put up,
But they have to be not human, because there's plenty of times.
All right, I'll see how many good ones there are.
Yeah, we'll have to see that.
We'll take a look. But like I say, an overall future.
Or not in robot normal Benji form.
Well, that's true. But
someone like Kyle.
An overall Futurama theme would actually work really well for the avatars. Yeah. So I may do that. All right. That's it. That is all I have for the meticulously plotted portion of the podcast, which means it's now time for the
Automatic.
Hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic.
The one thing that we're supposed to bring on and on.
At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 in his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that's where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? You send your question or topic to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums, and I will add it to my Podomatic list, because Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. And our first number, now that it's been re-rolled, is, it's 08.
I have nothing for that, because I'm not Aiden.
Yeah, no, that was getting a little tiresome. Oh, thank goodness Aiden's not here, right?
80 times he has to say the number.
No, this was number 8. So well, 8?
No, it, like 80 times he has to say something for each number.
Oh,
so,
I know.
So each question.
Alright. This one is from Mrs. Darks, and it is a bedwetter behead. The Women of Influence edition. All right, so.
I don't understand.
Bed, wed, or behead.
No,
F, marry, kill.
I know, no.
I'm going to read you the names. Harriet Tubman, of Underground Railroad fame. Kate Mulaney.
No idea.
Or Susan B. Anthony.
I've heard of the names, just don't know who.
All right, we just took a quick break to go look up images of all of them so my son would know who they were. Harriet Tubman worked with the Underground Railroad and worked against slavery.
Quickly with the Underground Railroad in my game, there's this group freeing these synths who are like robot/human.
Sure.
And I ended up killing them, so.
You're a bad person.
Well, it was for my own reasonings.
Bad person. So, Kate Mulaney, who lived in the 1800s and worked for women's rights in the workplace, and then Susan B. Anthony, who was, of course, on some versions of the dollar coin, and Susan B. Anthony fought for women's suffrage, women's right to vote. So those are the three choices you have for bed, wed, or behead.
Well, it seems like they're all dead because they're from the past. So.
Right. And you know what? I have way too much respect for all three of these women to treat them like pieces of meat here. I can't possibly do this. This is so wildly inappropriate. But if I had to pick. No, you know what? I can't do it. I can't. Nope. R2 saved me. Did not feel good. 04. 04 comes from my brother Kyle.
And then you're just going to get 02.
And Kyle says, yeah, I know, we're just going to cut it in half every time. Kyle says, you know what I appreciated about Dr.
Me?
Horrible?
Oh.
You know what I appreciated about Dr. Horrible? His thriftiness. He got everything a supervillain could want, and it only cost him a penny. Boo. Boo to your dad joke. Oh, man, and see, and that's one that you can't really post out on your Facebook feed because most people aren't going to get it, right? But, all right, that's a really good dad joke. I'll give you that one. 47 comes from... I love Dr. Horrible.
What?
So I love Dr. Horrible.
That's not the name.
All right, so Ronster. Ronster says, imagine a scenario in which you had to escape reality into one of your paranoia games, literally leaving the world as you know it and living in the world of paranoia. Which game of paranoia would it be, and who would be on your team? What's your mission? Okay, look, living in the world of paranoia is horrible no matter how you go about it. So I would, if at all possible, hop into one of the earlier games I played, and it was from a paranoia source book called Hill Sector Blues, and it was about playing blue-level clones who were all internal security agents. So it's basically a cop show, but with blue-level clones. And I would choose that one simply because we'd all be blue-level, and thus much higher chance of continued survival because, you know, you're blue and you have extra perks and you can live way more comfortably. And, you know, if you're going to die in horrible and comic ways anyway, then, yeah, at least I can live a more comfortable life before I get there. So that would be my choice. Who would be with me? Really, really doesn't matter because they're all expendable and I plan on shooting them. So that's the best I got for it. 88 is from Kaz. Kaz says, yo mama jokes or dead baby jokes? Which ones did you learn first?
Your mama jokes.
Yeah. For my kids, yo mama jokes. God, they even had, one of the best ones ever is from Billy and Mandy. Your mama's so ugly, Dracula wouldn't touch her with the Wolfman's teeth. That's one of my favorite. Anyway, but for me, dead baby jokes. We had dead baby jokes all over the place when I was a kid, and yo mama jokes only came later when I was in high school.
Your dead baby jokes just sound wrong.
Oh, dead baby jokes are wrong.
Mama jokes, at least everyone has a mom.
Yeah, which makes it more okay to make fun of them.
Well, yeah, because you can say my mom, like, nowadays, or instead of saying yo mama.
Yeah, no, dead baby jokes are terrible. Absolutely terrible and inappropriate. And, like, so bad that I don't even feel comfortable repeating them here. So bad. 22. Alright, 22 is... there it is. I can finally find stuff. It's from Eliahad. All right, and Eliahad says...
You usually call him Eli on the podcast, but since I'm here, you can't call
him... Actually, I usually call him Dave, but yeah, often I call him Eli. But with you here, I would like to make a distinction between Eliahad and Elijah. Although, the joke was that after you were born and we named you Eli, he always claimed that we named you after him. So.
No.
Well, that's what I told him. Yeah, don't disabuse him of this. He's really proud of that.
Then why haven't you told me?
Oh, I'm sure we did, and you've just forgotten. Anyway, Eliahead says, if Texas secedes, should it change its name to California just to mess with people? okay. This is accompanied, by the way, by another question where he asks, if California secedes, should they change their name? And now it follows up with, if Texas secedes, should it change its name to California? Look, this would be hysterical, but Texans would never change their name, certainly not to California.
Because I don't want to get into politics.
Yeah, well, look, Texas is the only state in the Union that used to be an independent nation that I know of. And how'd that work out for them? Yeah, they came crawling to us asking to be let into the Union, didn't they? Yeah, it didn't work for them.
You were born in Texas, so I guess you were crawling too.
Well, I wasn't around for them. But here's the deal. Texas will always be Texas because they're super proud of that. But, interesting note that I did not realize that Texas was not the only portion of the Southwest that became an independent territory or an independent nation, further south, so it's actually part of Mexico now, but they had the Republic of the Rio Grande, and it lasted less than a year before Santa Ana kicked their asses, but all I remember about them from when I was looking them up is they had the best flag. The absolute best flag. It
Can
was
you
like.
Show me now.
Yeah.
And don't pause it. Don't pause it.
Don't pause. Just all right. So this was the Republic of the Rio Grande.
Yes.
Republic
See,
of the
Rio Grande. So you have so much to
Rio
say even when you're
Grande.
Not when you pause it.
Okay, that's fine.
Wait, it was a two words in the name.
Yeah, Republic of the Rio Grande.
Why did you get rid of it? Oh, because back then we were racist.
But see, check out their flag. Look at that.
Oh my god.
This is the greatest flag ever. All right. You gotta imagine, like the Texas flag, that has the one red stripe, one white stripe, and then the blue field with one star. So this is it's like the American flag, but we're the only one. Okay. The Rio Grande flag, similar construction, except it's got a white stripe on top of-
It's for colorblind people.
Yeah, it's a white stripe on top of a black stripe, and then the field on the left is red with three stars, lined up vertically. And it is just a kick-ass flag. It is beautiful. It's simplistic in design. It is easily recognizable from a distance. You would instantly know that this is that, you know, if you saw the Rio Grande flag, if you knew the Rio Grande flag, you could see it anywhere and you'd go, oh my God, it's the Rio Grande flag. It's like the Chicago City flag in that, again, easily recognizable. Very distinct, very simple. Love that.
When I saw the shield-looking part of it, I thought that was some like thing from like the Knights Age, and that was like a.
Oh.
I've seen this before. I just don't know where.
Yeah, it's their coat of arms, which is just a redesigned version. You turn that original flag on its side and put it onto a shield. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
If I ever have to have my own shield, it's gonna look like that. I love that. That is really cool. Okay, so anyway.
The next thing.
Okay, did I answer your question? Yeah, they should do that, but they would never change their name. Certainly not to California. 35. And 35 comes from... Who does it come from? Ah, there it is. Talvin. Talvin says, what set would you like to see Lego put together? I personally like the minifigure scaled version of Serenity from Firefly. Ooh. Well, I don't think I could ask for anything better than seriously having a Lego version of the Serenity scaled to the minifigs, because that's the version of the Millennium Falcon that is scaled to the minifigures is unbelievable. I love that thing. And it's got exchangeable parts, so it can be old Millennium Falcon from the original movie, or it can be new Millennium Falcon from the, from episode 7. And it's got exchangeable figures, so you can have old Han Solo in it, or you can have young Han Solo in it, or... So, I love that thing. But, since Talman has already taken the coolest answer of Serenity from Firefly, what set would we want to see?
I would want to see... Is it one they haven't made?
Yeah, he's saying something that you'd like to see them do. I know, this is so tough.
Well, with Infinity Wars coming out, I imagine the ship that the one guy's in is going to be a thing at some point.
Yeah,
because quickly, my band teacher showed the trailer for Infinity Wars, and my whole entire band class rallied after it was over.
Band teachers are so cool. Yeah, he actually showed them the Infinity Wars trailer. Like you know, I've known Infinity Wars is coming, and yeah, I want to see it, but I haven't been all, you know, hyped up about it or anything until I saw the trailer. And then it's like, oh yeah, no, they need all my money. We have to go now. right now. And I mean, wow. If you haven't seen the Infinity Wars trailer, go watch it now and get psyched. Man, that thing looks great.
Because I imagine Infinity Wars is going to be the new Star Wars, and my kids are going to be asking me about it, and you'll be like,
oh, so cool bringing them all together. I'm really excited about it. 35. That's the one we just did. 30. I thought these were unbiased dice. What happened?
They don't like anything over.
Well, no, I'm watching them flip over, so I mean, I know that they're fair, but they're just weird coincidences. So, anyway, Produce Farmer. Produce Farmer says, when was the last time you played checkers? Is there a go-to strategy you fall back on when you play? When's the last time you played checkers? He's never played checkers. When's the last time you played chess?
A week ago.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. Lisa, in September. I think it's been just over a year since I last played checkers. I don't remember for sure, but... Oh, really? See, she was playing online with a student, so head-to-head. The last time I played, I think it was with Noah, and my strategy for playing checkers, honestly, is just keep the back row intact and start moving stuff forward, you know, stick to the walls, be careful, but try and lure them out. But I don't have a real strategy other than leaving the back row intact for as long as possible. So, hey, just because you always win everything doesn't mean you can make fun of us losers. God, she's mean. Okay, I think we're done with that one. 71. 71 is... There it is. Oh, no, it's not. There it is. It's from D-Rod. Hey, D-Rod. And D-Rod says, sorry if this has been asked before, but now it's time for an updated version. A movie is being made about your life. Who would you like to play you, and who would you like to play your wife and kids and everybody else, even me? All right. Man, this is so tough. You're asking me for a whole list of stuff. I mean, look, obviously Chris Hemsworth plays me. So
what?
Chris Hemsworth, the guy who plays Thor?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but... he's obviously me. The resemblance is uncanny. It would be, and then we would get one of his less attractive brothers to play my brother, because that would be fair. Lisa, who gets to play you in a movie of our life? No, you are way off on this. I'm going to go with Mila Kunis for right now. That's kind of a placeholder, though. I mean, I may have to adjust a little bit, but resemblance is uncanny. So, who plays you?
I don't know. I don't know enough kid actors for this.
God, you guys are terrible. Alright. Then in that case, for my kids. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, definitely. Eli is going to be, played by Finn Wolfhard, who they're right about the same age. And.
Which one is he?
Alright, hold on.
Is that the name he is in the
no,
show?
No. Finn.
What character is he?
Wolfhard. He's the guy who was on, was he on Game Grumps?
Okay, that one.
Yeah, see Finn Wolfhard. He could play you.
I guess.
He would do a really good job. Don't I guess. He's cooler than crap, man. Yeah. He's an awesome dude.
He just took me a while to figure that out. You could have just said, whatever the name was, Michael? I forget. From Stranger Things.
I think he was Mike from Stranger Things. Yeah, because Will was the wussy kid. So yeah, Mike. So
Will or Zach, if you want to say so.
When you're old enough to see the movie It, in a year or two, you watch him in It. He's badass, man. Okay. He's really good. Yeah, seriously. You should not be ashamed of having him as your...
I know. I just want you to keep going with...
All right. Hold on. We're going to end this question. 63. And 63 comes from...
Ba-dang.
I know. 63 comes from Talvin.
Talvin
says, Ray Kroc, McDonald's founder... Genius businessman or gigantic douche?
Gigantic douche.
Well, since he became a billionaire, obviously both. I mean, you know, you can't say he wasn't a genius businessman because it freaking worked for him.
No, you know why he's a giant douche?
Because he stole McDonald's?
No, because he had to create the clown as their mascot.
Did he create the clown?
I don't know. It's Ronald.
I haven't actually seen the movie The Founder yet, but I have heard that, he comes off as a real jerk in that film. And that Michael Keaton is brilliant in portraying him, as Michael Keaton is brilliant in most things. So, 23, my favorite number.
Really?
Yeah. 23 is from Talvin. God, Talvin is totally killing it this time. Talvin. All right.
That's how you...
Is that how it's supposed to be pronounced from now on? Okay, from now on, you're Talvin. Deal with it. What is the last movie you watched that made you cry? Oh, that's easy. It was Wonder last week. We already covered
this
one.
Is this the same question?
No, it's not the same question.
That was asked by who last night?
I don't remember.
You kept getting her.
But, yeah. The last movie that made me cry was Wonder. I watched it last week, and it made me bawl. What movie made you cry the hardest? I don't know. I would still probably Wonder. Wonder's pretty good at it. But, The Cure was pretty effective. I'm sure I cried at My Girl. I don't remember. No.
She keeps saying Galaxy.
No, she's thinking Guardians of the Galaxy. She's just making fun of Galaxy Quest. You're a rotten woman. God, she's bad. I can't really think. I'm going to go with Wonder. Just leave it for both answers. 25. 25 is from Walrus. Hey, Walrus. And he does. He laughs every time I say Walrus. It's weird. Let's see. There it is, Walrus. All right. Walrus says, I'd ask for your recommendations for Paranoia. But I'm pretty sure you're a spy working against the system, thus your recommendations must be disregarded, unless that's what you want me to think, in which case, alright, look, have you ever played Paranoia? Because honestly, if you want to play Paranoia, go out and see if you can find whether it's a bootleg PDF, or if you can get it off of eBay, or some place still has it in stock somewhere. Get Paranoia 2nd Edition. It is the only version of Paranoia that you need. All right, Paranoia 1st Edition, they had to work out some bugs. 2nd Edition is still top-notch, even 30 years later. Absolutely. Paranoia 5th Edition is not worth touching. Don't even get near it. It was silly and stupid and broken. And Paranoia XP is not, and that's the most current version as far as I know, Paranoia XP is not a bad version of the game, but it's a lot bigger and more, they added a lot more stuff to it, and... in retrospect, they didn't need to. They really didn't need to. Paranoia 2nd Edition is just a first-rate game. And if you can get the Acute Paranoia supplement to go with it, that was a 2nd Edition supplement, it is fantastic. It is the... from that, you get the Whitewash Adventure that I've played online, the Mark IV adventure, there's all sorts of really good stuff in there. So, that's what I would recommend for Paranoia, if you needed recommendations. Last one, 68. 68 comes from Ronster. And Ronster says, what spy gadget would you want for your new James Bond mobile? My Ford Fusion. All right. Well, I want autopilot. I want it to be self-driving, obviously. That's the only thing I need. I just want a self-driving car. How long do I have to wait for this to happen?
I just have a silly one.
What?
It's just...
What do you want?
Have you heard of the lipstick gun? I just imagine there's just a little hole from the car.
An array of lipstick guns all mounted across the front of his vehicle. Yeah, you could have like 100 of them up there. That would be pretty cool. Well, no.
And
but,
then they would be really loud once they all go off.
Because look, the newest Teslas that are coming out, the Tesla Model S and Model 3, I believe every Model S is going to come with self-driving capability. Now, whether you're legally allowed to use it in your area, so whether or not it'll actually be turned on, is a complete other matter. But they are now selling Tesla Model S's for 2018. You can buy them, and they have the self-driving module in them. It's already there. It's ready. Oh, how soon can I have my self-driving car? Yeah, oh, the power cord?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been broken before, and so I cut the little rubber piece off of there, and so that's why it sticks out like that. So it's not a...
Okay, because it doesn't look like it's charging.
No, it is charging, because the battery is old, and if I don't have it plugged in, then it will tell me it's dying. So I know it's working, because there's no warning messages on it. See how awesome that is? So, so yeah, no, definitely for me, the self-driving capability, but lipstick guns is cool, too.
No, that was more just a...
Or if I could get the bit where the whole car raises up, and so the wheels are still on the ground, but you have this long little mechanical structure thing that just scissors you up to the heights so that you can somehow roll over the tops of other cars, because somehow when you do that, your wheelbase becomes wider than the other vehicles and you can just ride over them. No, it was a cartoon thing that you saw all the time in cartoons when I was a kid, where suddenly they'd hit the special button in their car and the whole thing would just lift up and then they'd just drive over the tops of other people. It was really stupid. And even as a kid, I knew it was stupid, but it would be cool if they could make one that actually worked. So there you go. All right. I'm just being silly. You want one more or not? Are we done? See, he's not Aiden. He says we're done. So I'm going to turn it over to GLaDOS, and she's going to give us a recap of this week's episode so far.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and my bumper music this week was just She Blinded Me with Science as performed by William Shatner. All the songs I use are available on iTunes. You check them out, you buy them, you enjoy them. I wouldn't put them in my podcast if I didn't love them. Skip that section. If you want to help out Nerd Pride, subscribe to this podcast in iTunes or whatever podcatcher you use and write us a nice review, because those things really make a difference. Well, I don't care if the review is nice. Just give me 5 stars. That's what makes a difference. If you want to do something super nice for this podcast.
Someone purposely just puts 4.5.
Well, that was actually, I got that from, was it the Walking the Room podcast? It was people would write the worst reviews possible and then give them 5 stars, because the review part doesn't matter, just the number of stars. So they give them 5 stars and then say, this podcast gave me cancer. And
so, like, stuff physically impossible.
Yeah, exactly. It was, so people would write horrible, terrible stuff, but still give it 5 stars. But if you want to do something super nice, then seriously recommend it to your friends. If you're enjoying it, spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Word of mouth is my bread and butter, people. Remember, I am always looking for you listeners to do my work for me. Send me questions and topics for the Podomatic. Watch out every week on the forums and on Facebook for listener betrayal. Or if you have a very interesting or even uninteresting, I don't care, any fact, nerd fact about an upcoming episode number, send it to me and save me all of that grueling research. I was just lucky that 212 was so easy, because after this, it's going to get tough again. I hate research. My contact information, mike@nerdprideradio.com, @nerdprideradio on Twitter, facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be completely honest, the very best way to talk to me is come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds. Sign up there, send me a message. We will hang out together. We will become best friends in the world.
Sorry. I was trying to unplug a charger.
We'll have fun. And now it's time for listener betrayal. Before I start recording recording every podcast, I go out to my forums and to Facebook, and I post up that I'm recording, and then anything you guys post up, I will read off at the end of the podcast, which is what I'm doing right now. First up, it's Facebook, where nobody responded. I said, Eli's here. Eli had a question for you guys. Nobody loves Eli. I'm sorry, Eli.
Yeah, Eliah had.
Yeah, I know. See, exactly. Sarah Beth, Nellie, where are you guys? Eli was waiting for you. Huh, I know. Well, your mom loves you. That's all that matters. All right. But over on my forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, Walrus responded, and he is our only response, but he's given us plenty. My question at the top says, it's me and Eli today. Ask us anything. Also, tell us about your favorite stage play. Walrus says, our poor group is still unable to play. This week, the hall is in use for some community Xmas dinner, which I am not going to because I am sick as a sea lion, which is extremely sick for a walrus. So his favorite stage play? Cats. All right, cool. I've never seen Cats, but I'll give credit for that one.
I've seen it, but the play that did it, I didn't really understand it.
That's okay. And then next he says, how awesome is Shenanigans? And he has our little Shenanigans smiley up there. Shenanigans is actually pretty awesome. It's one of my favorite smileys. I made that one myself just because I put the word shenanigans in there because I wanted to have it. So, and then below that he says, Bedwetter Behead Captain Edition. So Captain Mal from Firefly, Captain Jack Harkness, or Jack Sparrow.
I know which one you're obviously choosing to marry.
Well, obviously. Except, well, here's the problem. Is Captain Mal, I would want to bed and then wed him. So, I mean, honestly.
You can still wed. You can still bed him afterwards.
Well, I get that, but here's the point is that, you know, if I'm going to wed Captain Mal, I don't want to betray him by taking someone else to bed first.
Well,
have to. Oh. All right, well then, tell you what, I'll kill Jack Sparrow, because he annoys me. And, so then I will take Jack Harkness to bed, and then, I will explain to my true love that it was just physical. I was forced to. They had a gun to my head. I didn't want to. Come on, Mal, it's okay. And then we would live happily ever after, and it would be awesome. So, and I think that's it. Is that all we've got? God, darn it, I don't know how to unlock my own phone. Yep. That was the end. So thank you, Eli, for sitting in with me. You are awesome.
Yes.
And thank you guys for joining me. And even though, you know, it's early on a Sunday evening and no one was paying attention to their Facebook, that's fine. You guys will catch me next week. So I love you guys. I'll see you next week. It's been wonderful. Say goodnight, R2.